Good afternoon. It's 48 degrees in Richland Center at 1208. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Governor Tony Evers is lowering the restrictions on a program that offers financial assistance to struggling parents. Evers on Wednesday signed an executive order telling the Department of Children and Families to allow people applying for the state's emergency assistance program to claim the government shutdown is affecting their budgets. Families seeking the assistance will still have to meet income standards. Evers' office says the order will cut red tape and get assistance to families that face eviction or homelessness and those who can't afford to heat their home or buy food. If you need assistance, contact your local United Way or other community service agency by dialing 211. A Madison suburb is dropping a contract with an AI-based security company. Flock Safety offers assistance to police through the use of tracking data and tracking potential Amber Alert vehicles, but Verona Mayor Luke Diaz says Flock can't be trusted with that information anymore. Critics accuse Flock of sharing its data with federal agencies like ICE and suggesting police investigate people based on their tracking models. Diaz says the city may go back to using its own surveillance cameras and not sending those videos to a third party. The owner of the AI data center going up in Beaver Dam is revealing itself to be tech giant Meta. It's already been widely reported that Meta is the owner of the development that will take up several hundred acres of land that was annexed to Beaver Dam about a year ago. At a Wednesday announcement, Meta said it will invest more than $1 billion in the local economy. 1,000 people will be hired for construction jobs at the peak of the project. Meta says more than 100 people will work at the data center once it's operational in 2027. Local opponents are fighting the data center. They say it will drain groundwater, spike utility bills, and disrupt wildlife. Healthcare employers are being encouraged to apply for training grants. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has a new round of grant funding available for state healthcare employers that will help them train workers and fill critical workforce needs. Grant funding would reimburse those healthcare employers for developing training alongside community partners like nonprofits, educational institutions, tribal governments, or workforce development boards. The healthcare and social assistance sector makes up 15% of the state's employment. There's a total of $2.25 million in grant funding available. A Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources report released this fall predicts the state could end up spending billions of dollars to address PFAS contamination in the water supply. The agency's fiscal estimate predicted that public water systems could spend nearly $13 million each year to reduce the levels of the forever chemicals to meet federal drinking water standards. It also predicted that it would cost around $400 million just to sample 800,000 private wells and another $125 million to replace private wells with excessive PFAS levels. In the 2023-25 biennial budget, $125 million in funding was set aside to address PFAS contamination. But the Republican-controlled Joint Committee on Finance refused to release that money to the Department of Natural Resources. The holdup on releasing that funding centered on whether landowners would be financially responsible for the cleanup. In the interim, cities like Eau Claire are constructing PFAS filtration facilities with funding from their own budgets, as well as from class action settlements with manufacturers of PFAS. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is seeking public input on its 2026 draft program guidance for the Federal Recreational Trail Program. According to a press release, the program seeks to provide grant funding to governmental units and qualified trail organizations through a cost-sharing assistance program. That funding is meant to help local organizations maintain, rehabilitate, and develop area trails, as well as encouraging the addition of trailside amenities. Residents can provide public comments on the draft plan until December 1st. You might not think to look at someone's iPhone as a source for drugs, but researchers are warning parents about vaping devices designed to look like phones. Some even work as smartphones that you can also use to vape. Researchers say the majority of vapers, especially teens, use vapes for nicotine, which is a highly addictive drug itself, but vapes can also be used for other drugs like THC, meth, even fentanyl. Doctors at UW-Madison say the products are a double threat to teens, exposing them to two highly addictive behaviors at once, screen use and nicotine. The warning comes ahead of the Great American Smokeout on November 20th. Layoffs are coming to Oshkosh Defense. Lisa Hale reports.
About 160 production workers at Oshkosh Defense are out of a job as of January 5th, 2026. A spokesperson for Oshkosh Defense confirmed the layoffs. In a statement to Civic Media News, the company said despite efforts to expand work, implement upskill programs for team members, insource and offer voluntary reductions, the company is facing overstaffing. It said, quote, "This difficult decision was made only after careful consideration of all available options." End quote. Oshkosh Defense is a subsidiary of Oshkosh Corporation. It makes vehicles for the U.S. military and other global partners.
The 9-day gun hunting season is approaching. As hunters are out in the woods, local law enforcement is asking that you keep an eye out for missing persons. They advise that you look for disturbed ground or clothing remains. According to the Wisconsin DOJ Clearinghouse for Missing and Exploited Children and Adults, they're still looking for more than 170 people. The Juneau County Sheriff's Office is still searching for 43-year-old Leah Marie Stewart. She went missing on the 4th of July in 2023. Search areas included Buckhorn State Park and the wildlife areas between Mauston and Adams Friendship. In Marathon County, 47-year-old Tara Jane Sullivan is still missing from the Weston area. She was last seen on April 17, 2023. Her vehicle was found abandoned along Highway 29 in Shawano County. If you have any information, no matter how minor it seems, detectives ask that you contact your local law enforcement agency. It's time for this week's Richland County History Moment with Richland County Historical Society President Ken Theed.
The most infamous Veterans Day snowstorm in Wisconsin history was on Armistice Day. It was called the Blizzard of 1940. And now for a Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to the 1996 Muscadet Progressive, it was written by Wendell Smith in his Random Thoughts. Monday was Veterans Day. To some of us old-timers, it's hard not to call it Armistice Day. Our two boys were headed to the Mississippi River duck hunting Saturday when a few flakes of snow started to show up in the air. They began to chide their mother that they maybe, well, they thought they could get caught in another Armistice Day-type blizzard. That storm, of course, was no joke. All the young fellows know that this famous blizzard in 1940 and what it was to have read it about it in the books and the magazines. Most of what I know about the storm is also from my reading. I do remember, though, as I was in elementary school in Nebraska, how several hours before it got to Wisconsin, it struck in Nebraska. Here is the Badger State story. The day dawned warm and duck hunters were out. Workers went out expecting a balmy autumn day. They were taken by surprise. It was a midday wind that became strong. Temperatures plunged. Light rain turned into snow and sleet. And before you knew it, these long hunters on the Mississippi Islands were stranded with impossible ways to get back to shore. The bitter cold struck, and it sucked the life out of 20 hunters who died along the Mississippi River that day. A Prairie du Chien hunter described the experience of being on the river during that storm as, and I quote, "It was like being on an ice cake in the middle of hell," end quote. A couple of young duck hunters on the Big River thought the storm would subside, so the evening approached, but they said, night came and the storm got worse. We decided we had to spend the night there, so we pulled our boats together in a windward way, and that way it created a blind. The trouble was that the wind kept blowing the boat down or away, and we had to hang on all night. We were so cold. We didn't even care that the mice started climbing into the boat. They climbed in underneath our jackets, up our jackets, all over our stomachs, but we were too cold to even bother dealing with them. In 1940, weather forecasters had not yet started to talk about wind chills, but if they had, they would have placed this as a factor 30 degrees below zero in the afternoon of November 11th. It got much worse at night. It was the wind, the chill, fatal to all hunters that were there. Their clothing was soaked. They were sprayed with swamp boats, with the water being less than rapid. Well, in some instances, hunters watched as helplessly their buddies died. In one instance, a 17-year-old survived that terrible night, but he saw both his father and his brother, as well as a friend, freeze to death. There were several instances of hunters using gasoline to try to start fires in their wood boats, burning wood decoys, anything they could. But the wind whipped so hard and so rash that the fires soon burned out when the gas was done. As bad as it was on the Mississippi, it was worse on Lake Michigan. There, over 80 men died when their ships broke up. West winds drove the bodies across the lake, and for months they washed up on the Michigan shore all winter long. Several years ago, I went to Wisconsin's Historical Society for my own reading, says Wendell Smith, fascinated by newspaper accounts from that day. His weekly publication wrote about the storm. I used this information for the basis of my article in the Random Thoughts, as the Wisconsin Sports Magazine would well account in a short column. Listen next week for the history of Richland County covering merger plans that goes, quote, into the trash can, end quote.
The Richland County Historical Society appreciates your support. It's been a great year with many new family, individual, and business members. Would you consider joining? For just $10 a year, individuals or families can be a member. Yearly memberships for businesses, just $20. A lifetime membership is available for just $100. Membership payments and donations can be sent to the Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, Apartment 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. The Society hopes you're enjoying these weekly history moments.
Governor Tony Evers and First Lady Kathy Evers invite the public to contribute ornaments for this year's Tribute to Our Troops holiday tree at the Executive Residence to honor all those who have served or are currently serving in the nation's armed forces. The Tribute to Our Troops tree tradition began in 2005 and honors Wisconsin service members who have served or are currently serving in the U.S. Armed Forces. Ornaments can be sent in honor of Wisconsin service members, past and present, in Wisconsin and abroad. The invitation is open to families of soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guard members. All ornaments are welcome and can be personalized to honor fallen service members, those who are deployed overseas this holiday season, and all who wear the uniforms of the nation's armed forces. To be included as part of this year's Tribute to Our Troops tree, ornaments must be received no later than Thursday, November 20th at Troops Tree Ornaments, 3110 Mitchell Street, Madison, 53704. Please note that ornaments will not be returned to senders. The ornaments will be displayed at the Executive Residence throughout the month of December. The ornaments and the Tribute to Our Troops tree can be viewed as part of the residence's holiday tours. As space is limited, individuals interested in a tour must pre-register to attend. More information is available on the Wisconsin Executive Residence website. Residence tours will be available Saturday, December 6th from 10 to 12:30, Thursday, December 11th from 1 to 3, Saturday, December 13th from 10 to 12:30, and Thursday, December 18th from 1 to 3. Sponsor trees for Rotary Lights in the Park will be delivered this Saturday. Volunteers are needed to attach the trees to the steel post at 9 a.m. Bring pliers, a pruner, and any kind of cutting tool that will cut a cable tie. 175 trees will be set up. Volunteers should arrive at the parking lot at the north end of Jefferson Street. Setup will progress along the trail. Rotary Lights 2025 will open Thanksgiving night. For the first time ever, the Richland Hospital Foundation invites everyone to come together in celebration and remembrance at its inaugural Lights of Reflection event held at the Richland Hospital and Clinics Thursday evening, December 4th at 5. This new holiday tradition offers a heartfelt way to honor loved ones, celebrate those still with us, and recognize the heroes among us. Each light on the tree has special significance. White lights honor the memory of someone special. Red lights represent a living tribute. Blue lights pay tribute to healthcare heroes and active military service members. Lights are available for a minimum donation of $5 per bulb, with options to purchase strands of 25, 50, or 100 bulbs. Each tribute includes a name and optional acknowledgement card. Make your purchase in November to help light up the night at the official tree lighting ceremony on December 4th. Lights will continue to be available for purchase through December 20th, following tributes to shine throughout the season. To be featured on social media and the hospital website, orders must be placed by Monday, November 24th. Donations will be accepted through December 20th, with proceeds supporting patient needs through the Richland Hospital Foundation and partners of Richland Hospital. To purchase lights or submit tribute details, the Richland Hospital and Clinics, call 608-647-6321, extension 2285, or email angie.coonen, that's C-O-E-N-E-N, at richlandhospital.com. As the holiday season approaches, the Something Special from Wisconsin program can help consumers choose products for meals or gifts that support local Wisconsin businesses. The red and yellow SSFW logo is a quick, reliable way to identify genuine Wisconsin products. The program's nearly 500 member companies offer a wide variety of products, including books, gardening supplies, dairy products, snacks, candles, cooking and baking kits, beverages, sweets, and more. To help consumers savor the season with the perfect Wisconsin product this holiday season, 78th Alice in Dairyland, Sarah Hagenau, will be featuring items from 36 SSFW members from across the state in television and radio interviews, newspaper and blog articles, and social media posts through December 12th. A variety of products will be featured, including popcorn, candles, sweet treats, spices and rubs, and more. Hagenau said, quote, "I am so excited to uplift and promote the Something Special from Wisconsin program through this holiday campaign. This is a great opportunity to showcase unique novelties from our Wisconsin businesses and help community members everywhere," end quote. For more information and a complete list of SSFW members, visit somethingspecialwi.com. The latest winners in the Ithaca football calendar raffle are Tuesday's winner, Skyla Wanless, Wednesday's winner was Ben Jones, and today's winner is Martin Kenyon.